This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it's 8 o'clock. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Hope you're having a good morning. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. It's going to be a fun hour. Got you guys on the horn, 206-421-3776. Find anybody new in your top five caller list today, Brock.
Yeah,
you didn't bring the
big
board down with you, did you?
No, I did not. Okay. Is Howdy going to walk the big board in?
No, Howdy's busy. He doesn't want to walk around the big board. No.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not open right now for business?
Well, it's around. I guess in theory I could walk over to the other side of the room and get it. I just haven't yet. Maybe I will. If we get a boring call or something, I could walk over and you can handle the call and I'll go do that. Not that we would have a boring call, right?
When I'm in studio and you're not,
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't happen a ton, but sometimes it does. You're back in Boston or somewhere else. Do you watch me on the live stream?
No.
Do you watch the studio?
Nope.
You never do.
Never.
You never have.
Never even thought about it.
Never even thought about
no.
it.
No.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching you.
You're watching me? I don't care for that.
Well, that's creepy.
Oh, yeah. I'm watching
710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app?
Every step you take.
Wow.
This is like that time I called Al Michaels and he was watching you.
Yes.
I just saw Brock get up to use the restroom and it looks like Mike is texting someone.
Yes. Oh, my God. Mike, Al Michaels is watching you. Play it cool.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. If you were in our ear, play it cool, man. Play it cool.
Hey, guys,
I don't want to freak you out, but Al Michaels is watching. He's live watching you right now.
That was so awesome that he did that, by the way.
Yeah, he prepared for, he listened to Blue 42 to prepare for his interview.
That's incredibly nice.
Ridiculous.
Man. Yeah, what an awesome guy. We got to have Al Michaels on.
I hope every one of these callers is doing the same.
Can we get Al Michaels on just to talk food?
You want to?
Yeah, let's just talk dinner with him, man. I mean, that's the guy who goes out to eat every single night of his life.
Okay.
How much do you want to have that guy on again?
You know what? Let's do it. Let's in the next 2 weeks before the season gets crazy. Let's do it. I'll text him.
Anytime you want to talk to Al Michaels, you know him, man. All right, here's the deal. Open phone lines for the next, I don't know, 45 minutes. 206-421-3776. Give me something that's on your mind. Give me a sports argument you've been trying to make, a thought on these Mariners, last night's game, where they're at, where they're going, trade deadline less than 3 weeks away. Tell me something that is on your, less than 4 weeks away, excuse me. Tell me something that is on your mind. Something with the Seahawks, a couple weeks away from training camp. That starts, what, the 26th? So we are 20 days away.
This weekend, only 3 weekends left. Only 3 weekends left.
Are you believing that this team is still going to be good? Are you worried that the 6 lost Pro Bowlers is going to be a giant problem? Are they better for it because those guys weren't still playing at that level? Look, there's a million things going on in sports. We just need a call. 206-421-3776. We'll start this morning with Mike, who is in Edmonds. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice, Mike.
Thanks, Brock. Before I ask my question, Saul, can I ask where you stood watching the Edmonds parade?
Where I stood? I was at, 6th and Walnut.
Ah, okay.
It was awesome, man. What a cool parade. I had a blast going up to Edmonds, and it was great. My buddy Tyler, who works here, he lives up there, and so I asked him where the best place was for me to give my passport to get up into that Canadian space up there, and he told me where to go. I exchanged some money. I had a couple loonies and toonies, and I watched the parade. It was a blast.
Okay, glad to hear it. FYI, I grew up at 5th and Walnut. So
I was right there, right in the center.
To just go out our front door and watch the parade.
Very cool.
Yeah. I've been going back and forth in my mind about the huge number of close games for the Mariners make them tougher or wear them out. And I think it's probably different for the pitchers and the position players. But I also go to the argument that you, Salk, make about the Boston and the Yankees playing each other at the end of the year, and your contention is that they're going to bash each other senseless. Mm. So if the Mariners are in contention for the division and they're playing, you know, they're competing really hard at the end of the season, is that the same thing for them? Are they going to also knock themselves crazy trying to get there?
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate the phone call. And actually, last night I was digging through some of those numbers, trying to put some context to it. And then looking at their 56 wins the Mariners have this season, 56 and 32, there have only been 10 of those 56 that have been by more than 3 runs. Mm. where you just kind of get that breather, right? Where you're late in the game and you're like, okay, even if they get a runner on or whatever, two, or Colome doesn't have it, or Nicasio gets bashed, or whatever. They've only had 10 of those 56. To contrast that, of their 32 losses, 14 times they've been blown out by more than three runs. So nearly half of their losses have just been games like, yep, didn't have it, you know, lost 10-0, lost 7-2, lost 9-2, lost, you know, in those games. So
that means that they've only played 24 games all year that have been decided by more than three runs?
I don't think so. 10 of their 56 wins.
Yeah, and 10, you said 14 of their losses.
Of 14 of their 32 losses. I'm not going to do math on here.
Well, 10 plus 14 I can do is 24.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just not.
10 plus 14 is 24. I feel really good about that one.
Yes.
That means they've played 24 games all year long that have been decided by more than three runs.
That's true.
That means so say what you will, man. Even those games that you're losing by three runs or less, those are stressful. Also, they've only had 24 nights that aren't up in the air. That's crazy. Right.
That is pretty nuts. It is pretty nuts. So is that good? Does that make you battle tested, like Mike said? And Mike, I'm right with you, man. Part of me is like, this is awesome. Like, you get in these moments, it doesn't matter if they're one-run games. Doesn't matter if they're two-run games. Man, you are more and more built for this. You're more hardened by it and everything else. Or are you just at times like, gosh, I'm out of gas?
Can
like,
it be both? I mean, can't you have been hardened by it at this point? I mean, you've played an absurd percentage already. At some point, you just need some time to recuperate. You need the mental break. You need the physical break for your best star relief pitchers. I mean, those are the things that I find myself thinking about. I think that the team will be okay. The mental break would be nice at some point to just, I don't know, win a few games by 4, 5, 6 runs. Even lose a few games by 4, 5, or 6 runs. But I want to see their relief pitchers take some time.
Yes.
I mean, you saw Pazos last night. He looked like the same guy. I was a little concerned about that. He was throwing 91 last night. Even Blowers commented on the lack of velocity. Didn't have as good command and was just given 2 days off. Remember we wondered where Pazos was? Yeah, he was given 2 days off where they said, we don't want to see this guy for 2 days. Then he came back and didn't have good velocity. I mean, that's one that's what's your little dental chart? That's a check. That's one I'll be looking at to see what happens the next time Pazos comes out, right?
He hadn't pitched since June 30th.
Yeah,
a couple of significant days off.
Is that true? He hadn't pitched since June 30th?
That's what I have Baseball Reference on his game log.
That doesn't sound right, but I guess you must be right. 206-421-3776.
And with his 34th save last night, Eddie Diaz on pace for a record-setting 63 saves.
A lot. How long can that truly go? All right, anything you guys want to say, any subject, the lines are open. We'll grab Brian, who's in Bellevue. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. You don't buy Halloween candy the week before Halloween, and you don't buy relievers in July. It's overpriced. And Jerry's too smart to do that. I think we need to do our best to try to get Nicasio and Colome right. We've already overpaid for eighth inning help. And if we have to, is there anyone in AA or AAA who can throw 97 we could bring up to just relieve for 5 or 6 weeks at the end of the year?
Well, I mean, you got to assume at some point you'll get Dan Altavilla back. He throws pretty close to that, right? I mean, so there are some guys kind of hanging around, but. No. I mean, the short answer is not really.
To pitch in September, Brian? To pitch in September when these games are going to be all in the division with Houston and Oakland and Anaheim and Texas? That's where you want an untested, somebody that hadn't been there throwing just 97? I don't know if I want that, B.
I'd love Dennis Eckersley from 1990, but we don't have the resources to overpay for relief help at this point, and Jerry DePoto hasn't built this team to the condition it's in by making inefficient moves. And when you actually look at the relievers that are out there and the teams that are going to be paying what they're going to be paying for those guys, you're not going to get a better value. You're not going to get a better chance to win than you will with the guys you've got. And yeah, I mean, Francisco Rodriguez is obviously the most stark example, but you can't convince me there isn't some flamethrower down there that we could just bring up to at least eat some of these innings, at least eat the innings. And if you get lightning in a bottle, the hitters haven't seen the guy, I think that gives us the best chance to not just compete this year, but to sustain this run. Because, you know, the second wild card will be great, but I, as a season ticket holder, I'm not content with a second wild card and you emptied the cupboard to get it. I want Jerry to, A, get extended, seriously, how are we still not done with that?
I think it'll happen, but yeah.
Lead us into the years beyond.
You know, let me just ask you one last question on that, and then we'll let you go, because this is what we brought up earlier this week, and that's the idea of what if their window isn't closing but is actually opening? And at that point, the idea of what you do with your farm system, if you're bringing in a reliever, you know, one of these kids from Miami who's still under club control for another couple of years, does that change the way you view acquiring a reliever if they're going to be here for not just this year but the next two or three?
I'd love to get those relievers, Salk, but what is the price going to be? You know, Houston needs
it's supposed to be more of a buyer's market for relievers than for starters this year. And that was just what I was reading the other day. I forget who wrote it. And I don't, it doesn't mean it costs you nothing. But if you have the ability to pick up a guy who can be a wipeout righty, which you really need, that might be enough to win you the division this year.
At the end of the day, I trust Jerry to make the right move, but I would be very surprised if the market for relievers at the deadline is not increased, if there isn't a feeding frenzy at the deadline, and I don't want Jerry to participate.
Well, what I would tell you is if everything I've learned about Jerry DePoto and everything we know about this Mariners team, they can't compete for the guys that are going to require big prospects. What they can do is spend money. And if you can find the right reliever who is owed some money towards the end of their deal with whatever team it is, that's going to be the way you acquire somebody, whether it's a reliever or anybody else this year, Brock. You just don't have the horses to do it otherwise.
No, and, you know, last night, another example. They're going to give Colomé every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They look at that track record and what he's done in the past. Not a wipeout guy that you have referenced, but been pretty successful in his career. And they're going to continue to give him opportunities. Nicasio. By the way, did you notice yesterday Shannon Dreher used the same word that Wet Blanket used earlier in the week? And it's not optics. What is the word that both Shannon and Jeff Passan used when talking Nicasio? And it was like his numbers, his optics, his line. They had the same exact kind of the same baseball word that, you know what, actually the stats tell you that he has been a whole lot sharper than maybe what your eyes have seen and certainly what my trust.
Yeah, they're saying that because he doesn't walk anybody, and that's been really the thing that's kept him going. He does have a bunch of strikeouts and he doesn't walk anybody, but unfortunately when he gives up contact, it's been rock solid hit, smashed wherever. So, yeah, look, I thought Colomé looked really much better last night. I know he needed a great play to bail him out of the eighth, but I thought he actually looked really good. He struck out Trout. He was throwing 97, and he had a really good, I don't know if it's a slider or a cutter, whatever he calls that thing, to Trout. Was nasty, had real depth. I thought he had the next guy struck out, just a bad call, Upton. Yep. And then, all right, he gives up a couple of hits, but I thought he actually looked better than he has last night. So hopefully that's a sign of some things to come. 206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. Open phone lines here. Let's go with Adam, who is in Seattle. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
And Adam's been flirting with that top five board. And by the way, I saw you get up. So.
Yeah, but I couldn't find it. And then the chair hit the mic.
It's just a mess.
It was a big mess. So I'm sitting down. Then the guy asked me a question about Edmonds.
we're standing for the parade.
Not going anywhere.
Adam in Seattle, you've been a contender for the top five. You received votes, so you better bring it.
Yeah, I'm always listening. I'm always calling in. So hopefully I can feel the shoes on the top five board.
Hey, man.
I want to talk about Frank Clark and hear you guys talk as well. With no Bennett and Averill not with us anymore, and with Clark filling that number one spot, do you guys see him being as a guy who can get 10 or more sacks with us this year and fill in the same role like Bennett and Cliff did for our team? And do you guys see us giving him – I don't, because I just don't see him as a guy who just pops out the screen when he's on just watching the games. And even with Cliff and Michael Bennett being with his side, he just didn't really give me those flashing moments as a Seahawks. So I hope that changes this year. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
It's interesting, Adam. I would actually disagree a little bit. He's a guy to me that has popped, but he's not done it consistently. Right. Maybe it's a little bit of semantics there, you know, because I've seen him, you know, just maul people. I said last week that he's a guy from a physical intimidation standpoint that can fill some of the void that Cam Chancellor's departure is going to leave, as far as opponents watching tape going, oh my gosh, he just destroyed that guy. He just broke that quarterback's collarbone. He just sucked the life out of that polling guard. Like he's got some of that ability. Can he do it? Absolutely, he can do it. Is he going to be motivated from the neck up if he doesn't get his contract? Will he be incentivized enough to look at it and say, okay, I get double-digit sacks, I become a double-digit guaranteed million-dollar kind of guy? I hope he is. I think he's going to be, but I didn't really love his offseason where he was largely a non-participant.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I just see him, I just hope that him as being the number one guy with no Bennett and Averill, I just hope that he just has a monster year with us, and I hope I'm dead wrong.
It's a good point, man, because he's not going to have a lot of protection in the lineup. You're right. You know, he's going to be hitting third or fourth, and he's not going to have a lot of people on base in front of him, and he's going to have to carry
so
more.
I mean, that is the problem with that statement. I'm with you most of the way there, Brock, is the thing with Deion Jordan is if he's healthy, he's really good. If he's not healthy, then he's not in there. I mean, what we saw from him last year when playing is that he's a really good pass rushing end, no?
Yeah, 4 sacks and 65 snaps.
Right. I mean, that's incredible. So it's one of these funny things where either he's either going to have great protection or he's going to have none. I think that's kind of the way I view it, and I just don't know what to expect from Deion Jordan in terms of games played. But I think it's reasonable at this point to expect that when Deion Jordan is in, he's a frontline guy. Is that fair?
That's fair. That if and when he's in?
If and when he plays, I expect Deion Jordan to get to the quarterback and have double-digit sacks if he plays enough games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
4 sacks in 6 games, I expect that to be at least 10 or 12 if he plays an entire season. Yes. Yep. And by the way, the 6 games he played in, it's not like he was playing a ton of snaps, right? He was coming in and in a couple of pass rush situations. I expect Deion Jordan, if healthy and if he can ride through a season, and I know that's a humongous what if, to come up with double-digit sacks and be fearsome on the edge, to be better in 2018 than either Michael Bennett or Cliff Averill would have been here. Not better than they were when they were at their prime, but better than they would have been in 2018. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah, just stay healthy. And that's been too much to ask for him in his career.
Yeah.
Well, even we'll this offseason, unfortunately. Hey, by the way, can I give you a quick bro?
Yeah.
Bro. I was listening yesterday for the first time in a long time to Jim Rome, and his whole collar thing, it is insane.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, this top five is just child's play. I thought, a little top five more, like a little competition.
No.
Like, his whole caller thing.
Oh, he, like, tells people to take the rest of the day off after a good call.
Yes.
Doing a great job calling into the jungle, Jim Rome show. Take the day off. You've earned it.
Joe, C-Bus, take the day off. Appreciate it.
That's crazy.
I like how he's got the nicknames for all the cities. You got C-Town, C-Bus, there's a couple others. I used to listen to that show because I did updates for a station during the Jim Rome show.
You did?
I got 2 hours of Jim Rome every single day. Man. And it's amazing. He will tell. I mean, Jim's really talented. I say this with all respect. He's an incredibly talented radio host. But he will tell a lot of the same stories, as do I, so whatever. But he tells this one story that I have to turn off after the first time about, like, the day, he calls it, like, the Rome family dog genocide or something, where his dad, he thinks, like, killed off his dog. Oh, like, it's awful.
Oh, no.
And he's told
him that right up.
Oh, yeah. Like, the first time I heard it, you're listening, you're like, oh, I never want to hear that again. But he keeps telling it every couple weeks, got to get back to tell the dog story.
Sheesh. Smack talk.
Yeah. Take the day off. You earned it. 206-421-3776. All right, we got open lines. We got one or two lines open. I hope you guys are going to bring it today, like Anders and Gig Harbor. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. I wanted to ask you about Astros rants. I saw your quote tweets on Twitter.
So you like him?
No, I don't like him.
What do you mean you don't like him? He's the best. You love him.
He's funny, and I like seeing you roast him. And I got really just watching his going off on the Mariners.
Hey, Anders, you sound like you could have a little rant in you. Could you be a Mariners rants guy?
Ooh, maybe. That might be a Twitter that I could open up.
The Mariners trucked out some uniforms that they thought would be cool, that they thought would be interesting and fun to look at. They were disgusting. Go look at them now if you haven't looked at them. Can't believe Rob Manfred supported these and let these happen. Baseball is not supposed to be like this, and whatever. All right, that's all I have to say.
You have to love this guy. Here's my question for you, Anders. Would you like Astros Rants guy on the show, or would that ruin the fun?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it would get pretty – I feel like he's pretty young. And I feel like you could have a good conversation with him, but he'd, like, start
swearing.
Yeah. I do worry about his ability not to swear.
I think this is Astros guy.
Is it me?
I think he's trolling us.
I'm separated from you guys. Does this not sound like Astros Rants?
Yes, it sounds like Astros Rants guy. I think he's playing two cards at once.
And definitely
mind
not.
Mind you, this is like 5 seconds now. He's just watching. Dude, drop the bat down. Stare at your ball for a second. Drop the bat down and run the bases. Instead, he keeps walking. He keeps walking, keeps staring it down. And then he just does that. This is just, we don't need this in the game of baseball. We do not need this in the game of baseball.
Anders,
my goodness.
Hey, Anders, are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't swear, but give me a little, give me a little rant.
On who? The Mariners?
Hey, whatever you want, man. The floor is yours.
You want.
I don't know.
All right, you're not Astros Rant guy. We sniffed it out. Appreciate it, Anders. Thanks for the phone call. 206-421-3776.
Sounded like him, though.
What do you think? Would you want him on, or does it ruin the fun if you were to have him on?
I think it ruins the fun. He needs to live in mystery.
Yeah, I agree. We don't have him on in July.
He was mad last night because his own guy pimped a home run. Mm-hmm. So he was super mad. He called him Astros hero Jose Altuve, but still asked his questions about whether or not his actions were good for baseball and how quickly he should be drilled. I thought that was great. Like he knows the Astros are the best team in baseball. He was mad that I think it was Gurriel, but it might have been Mark, one of the guys.
It was Gurriel.
Was encouraging him to bat flip more. Right. And so this just infuriated him. It nearly broke him last night. I thought it was great.
Yeah, September. We're still in this sucker.
You
in
want
September
him in September?
Do you know
not
how
now.
Hard that is? Do you know how hard, not hard, that word. We're throwing hard out the window. It's not hard. You know how lucky you have to be to win 26 one-run baseball games? It's just pure luck. The Mariners are just a lucky team.
I love them. How do you not love them?
This weekend was probably one of the worst weekends of my entire life. Probably the worst weekend of my entire life. The Astros ended up losing 3 straight games to the Tampa Bay Rays. Yes, you heard it right. The Astros lost 3 straight games to the average Rays.
Kyle, question for you. I know you're running the board today, but you and I, it's simpatico yesterday with Howdy as well. Like, trying to understand the mood that Salk's going to come in after a Mariners loss, right? How is he going to judge
his loss?
It's
always a guessing game.
Always a guessing game. Who Salk falls in love with at times? Is it a guessing game to you?
Is it?
Like Carmichael Dave falling in love with this guy down here in Sacramento. Astros Rants just falling in love with Astros Rants guy. Is it equally as curious of who Salk is just going
to You have to follow all the other cues. Like, was he the one that discovered it, or did somebody else?
I didn't discover this. Lydia did.
Did somebody else discover it and not like it, so he will like it now?
No, Lydia discovered this. I didn't discover this. Get out of here. That's not has nothing to do with it.
So, to answer your question, Brock, it is now, yes, unexpected that Mike would have liked it.
How dare you? Kyle, I want to, because you do not like Astros Rant guy. You don't have the same level.
I just don't believe that he's a real person.
Whose voice bothers you more when you hear it? Astros Rant guy?
That's so sad.
Oh, this.
You should
this.
Smile. Stop. Like this.
Or Brightwing.
I'm a sane human being, so
Brightwing. Has secret for friend. Does friend know secret?
And the syntax, and there's a lot of issues with Brightwing.
Yes. Brightwing ready to face danger.
Kyle just almost vomited in the studio. I feel bad for him.
It's like that tiny reverberation. There's something very subtly awkward and horrible.
I am ready for battling. Are you ready, friend?
Are you ready for battling?
Let's do it together. Mr. Kyle. Unlimited.
All right, let's do it together. 206-421-3776. We'll do it together next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
You ready to rock some faces off, bro?
Oh, boy.
Is Brightwing singing on this song?
You found your file of voices, didn't you?
Me? No.
Let's melt some faces.
It's one of my best gifts to Mike Salk ever.
Why would you say that? Have I found my treasure trove of great voices?
Hell yeah.
All right, maybe I have. 206-421-3776. Enough of me playing stupid sounds from Heroes of the Storm. Instead, we want to hear from you guys. Open phone lines for another 10 minutes or so. 206-421-3776. And this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Get right back to your calls. How about Fred, who's been hanging on in Birch Bay? What's up, Fred?
Nice.
Hey, Brock, I just want to let you know I'm still on your team, man. It's been a while. I've been on injured reserve. Sorry, I haven't called.
Yeah, what happened, Fred? You got a little polyp in the vocal cords, or what's going on?
Well, we got a little neck surgery coming up. Oh. C3456 are going to get fused.
Hmm. Oh,
had
you
to quit
and my old man.
Cigarettes, which yep. is a good thing.
Okay.
And I'm just calling for a change-up. I'm really stoked about Myles Gaskin. The Huskies. Yep. And the first interview you have with Ed Orgeron, you know, Big Ed, you got to have Ed on. You got to have Ed on real quick. You got to interview Ed Orgeron. He's my man. He's going to talk Husky football, the purple and gold coming down there to beat up on Auburn. And they're going to go down to Atlanta and put on a show for the boys. Can't wait for your first interview with Ed Orgeron. I'm just saying, boys, can't wait.
Love you, Fred. It's kind of funny. After the practice, we had a spring game the next day, and I was looking for worms on the field. And my coach goes, my nickname's Bebe. He goes, Bebe, what are you doing here?
I can't keep playing that.
It's good.
Bebe?
Bebe?
What do you say, guys? Great to be on the show.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
I'm excited about Myles Gaskin, too, Fred. I think
we haven't spent enough time on that.
Nope, I think he's got the most legitimate Heisman chance since Napoleon Kaufman. He's on the cover of Phil Steele's big national college football magazine. That is the biggest and the best of all of them, the most highly regarded amongst at least people in the media and my peers in the business. The fact that he finds himself on that cover with three or four other guys that are all Heisman contenders. Yeah, I think Myles is set for an awfully big season.
Not easy to get on the cover.
Big shout out to Coach Carroll, man. Love him.
Appreciate that. Not easy to get onto the cover of Phil Steele's magazine. You know why? Because Phil is...
You will find that I am not easily impressed.
Right, true. So you want to get onto the cover of that.
What did Ed say to me, though? Sack fumble? What does he say? Best play in football?
Hey, Brock, sack fumble.
He says to me every time.
He says that every time.
Not only on
like
the
he
show.
He thinks you guys have some inside joke.
Yes.
Do you?
I don't know. When I see him in production meetings, he says the same thing, too. Hey, Brock, sack fumble. Every time.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. I don't know. See if you can find that clip. You're telling me sack fumble.
We'll look for
know.
It. 206-421 377.
Hey, Brock, big fan of yours, man. Sack fumble.
Why does he always?
Why does he say that?
No.
Did you get sack fumble?
What do you say, guys? Great to be on the show.
Did you call a game of his and like that was a big call that you made or something?
Maybe he played against me and I sack fumbled and gave the game away. I have
Very
no
possible.
Idea. But that's our connection. Sack right. fumble.
Let's grab John. Is hanging on in Woodinville. Good morning, John. What's going on? You're on Brock and Salk.
Hey, you guys. What'd you think about that catch last night from D. Gordon?
Which
hey,
one? Man. I don't know. Which one?
The one in the eighth where he dove like Superman to catch the ball.
D. Gordon? I don't remember that.
Not too many people could have made that catch.
No? That Maybe. Was amazing. I'm just giving you
Batman
grief.
Batman couldn't have made the catch.
Who?
Robbie Cano couldn't have made that catch.
Are you going to start off with that? Is that going to be your argument on this? Is that really your point? That's what you take away. That's one of the great catches you'll ever see. First of all, there might not be three people in baseball that could make that catch. But but what you get out of it is Robbie Cano couldn't have made that?
Well, when Robbie comes back and he goes to second base, he's batting the lineup is going to be great. And D can play anywhere.
Okay.
But there, as far as I know, there's no stat which shows amazing catch to save two or three runs to help win the game. And there's games without replacement. But where's the superhero catch?
That's a really good question, and there is none. It's a fantastic play that he makes. I don't know if it saves two or three, but it definitely saves one.
The stretch and the 1-1 pitch, swing and a broken band, line drive, diving, Gordon makes the catch in shallow center field. D. Gordon parallel with the ground, a Superman catch. Holy smokes, he robs Kinsler of a base hit, and he saves a run.
He sure did.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right, I mean, if everybody could have hit that ball, in Kinsler. He's going to appreciate that play in baseball, right?
So happy that happened to Ian Kinsler.
Yes.
I mean, between him and Valbuena, God, that team is unlikable. Aren't they? They're a really unlikable team. I'll be glad to be done with them.
I think it's going to be really hard, Mike, really hard to move D out of second base. I know that Jerry DePoto talked about it a month ago. I know that Scott's kind of talked about it at times when he's asked. He's not necessarily ducked the situation, but D keeps playing this way. And I think it was Big Kyle maybe a month ago, you know, said, D at second base, Gold Glover, right? And I was kind of with you, Kyle. Like, I didn't see
it. The first couple of weeks, yeah. I mean, he was obviously making a tough transition back after trying to go to center, but I was kind of like, I mean, yeah, he's okay.
And then all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's come on. He made a heck of a play the other night. It was Tuesday night, charging the ball and sort of diving and throwing to first all at the same time. And he's been a wizard over there. There's no doubt. But you got to get Robbie's bat back in the lineup for 6 weeks. D. Gordon is an OPS under a 653.
Yes.
Like, Brock, you're going to find a way to get Robbie in, whether it's taking some games at second or some games at first, maybe even some at third, some at DH. I mean, you got to find a way to get Cano's bat into the lineup for 6 weeks.
You do. You also are not going to have Cano in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and this is a recipe that you have seen played out before on the West Coast in a stadium similar to this one. You pitch, and you have the starting pitching performing the way it is, yep. and you play defense, you can win a World Series. Just ask the team down here in the Bay Area where I reside. Not once, not twice, three times. You pitch, you play unbelievable defense up the middle, yep. catcher and second base and center field. It can make up for a lot of shortcomings offensively.
All true, but it sure would be nice to occasionally blow a game open now and again, and Robbie Cano's got the capability to do some of that. James is in Auburn. Good morning, James.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up? Doing so good.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited, just like most of us are, for the Huskies season. I was a little hurt when I heard Bryant wasn't going to be there with us this year playing. I was just curious as to what kind of weapons we can utilize at tight end, because Browning's a phenomenal passer. I think his timing and his execution and his IQ is just off the chart. He just needs, you know, options at wide receiver yeah. and tight end, and with the guys gone, with Pettis gone and the tools that he had gone, I just curious as who he might use at tight end. And I absolutely agree with Gaskin, all the comments on Gaskin. He's the closest thing to Barry Sanders and LaDainian Tomlinson we've seen in a long, long time.
Good phone call, James, down there in Auburn. Yeah, I don't know if it is official yet, but it's become very well known. Hunter Bryant's who you're referencing, the tight end, the young, dynamic tight end, freshman, absolute star a year ago. He's going to miss this season. He's not going to be around with a significant, unfortunate knee injury. And that takes away one of your dynamic guys, and it means more opportunity for Chico McClatcher. It means more opportunity for Cade Otten, a young, you know, redshirt freshman tight end that's going to get a chance. And Drew Sample is going to continue to grow and emerge. But, yeah, that one big weapon. I was talking to Uncle Luke about this as we were hashing things out about the fishing trip, too. I said, Luke, the one thing, man, if you could give the UW just one thing heading into the Auburn game in particular, more than anything else in that game and over the course of the season, if they had just one go-to guy that Jake was like, it doesn't matter the situation, it doesn't matter the coverage, it doesn't matter who's on him. Give me the one guy that he trusts implicitly on the outside, and that is the one thing that is still very much to be determined.
Yeah. Yeah, who's that guy going to be? Yeah, yep. That's a bummer. Nice to hear a couple of Husky calls. Obviously, looking forward to what this season looks like and whether or not they can get themselves back to being a championship contender. That first one against Auburn is going to go a long way towards determining it. Mariners get back to it tonight. 3-game series against the Rockies. 7:10 start. Pregame show at 6 here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Felix on the Hill. Thanks for doing the open phone lines. Always fun to talk to you guys. We got a question that we'll ask you. We'll get you back on the horn coming up in about 20. Before we do it, well, good news, bad news, no news, including what may be the greatest mic'd up moment in history. Next on Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
It's fun doing open phone lines on Friday, don't you think?
I do. I love it.
Hearing from the peeps.
I love it. Gives us just a little gauge of some of the temperature out there. What was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 calls. 5 Mariners, 1 Seahawk, 2 Husky.
You took detailed notes on those, Brock?
I always do that, Kyle. How else am I going to remember Anders and Gig Harbor that sounded like Mariners Rains
guy? Anders.
Or was Mike it? Up there in Edmonds, who grew up on 5th and Walnut. Used to watch that parade right there at 5th and Walnut. Or Brian in Bellevue, who doesn't want to overpay for a reliever. Adam in Seattle. We wondered about Frank Clark. Or how am I going to remember the rest of those guys? I give them their due, man.
I love how Salk advertises the phone lines are empty. He basically begs for callers, and then he verbally bashes them on first contact.
Yeah.
I didn't verbally bash anybody. I argued with the Cano guy. What's wrong with that? That's part of that's fun. That's conversation.
That's not Cano guy.
Back
that's
and
John
forth. Repartee.
That's John out in Woodinville, man.
It was fun for him.
Cano
don't
guy.
Don't forget about Fred and Birch Bay. He's going to have that neck fusion. I'm thinking about you, Fred.
Poor Fred. I had to quit smoking cigarettes. You poor guy. I hope you get back in the wagon, Fred. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Mike Zunino was placed on the 10-day DL with a bruised ankle.
Yeah, that's bad news. And I'll be doing my little dental watch on some of these pitchers, on Paxton, on Diaz, on Marco Gonzalez, and a good one last night, as he didn't seem too affected, and he righted his own ship, and we'll play some of that sound at 9 o'clock as well. But everything that he was doing behind the plate, gold glove, caliber defense, and just building more and more trust with this entire pitching staff, and miss him for a couple weeks, that's bad news.
Yeah, I'll spin it the positive. Obviously, it's not good news, but it's close to it. Mike Zunino could use some time off. The bat has tumbled recently. The batting average down below 200 again at just 189. And maybe this will be good for him. I know it's not going to be good for the pitchers, but like what you saw, at least in short duty from Chris Herman, who maybe he can hit better than 200 and, I don't know, provide something at the bottom of the order other than the occasional home run. And maybe it makes Mike Zunino better down the stretch to get a couple of weeks off his feet. At least that's my hope, that this ends up being a help more than a hindrance. We'll wait and see.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are planning a $10 million purse head-to-head match play game.
In Vegas, apparently, too. That's the other part of this. I think this is great news. Seems like a lot of fun. They almost got it done for July 3rd, is what Phil Mickelson said, in Vegas. I don't know what course they would play there, but they talked about doing that. It didn't come together. They're still seeing if they can work it out. $10 million, I mean, so Tiger's worth an estimated $750. $10 million, still no joke if you're worth $750 million, right? That's still a lot of money.
Like, is it out of his own pocket?
I think
like
so.
They're,
what did Tiger say? Like, oh, whatever feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could obviously wager whatever I want.
Right.
So whatever
I have more
feels
money than Phil.
Comfortable with is what we'll go.
But, I mean, $10 million is not nothing to Tiger Woods.
No.
That's still a tremendous amount of money to anybody, including him. So I think that'd be a blast. And the idea is that the whole thing would be mic'd up.
That'd be good news, too.
Would you watch that?
Yeah. Good news, good news, good news. Are those the two that you would want to see? If you could pick any two in golf that you'd want to see go at it in a head-to-head?
Would you like to see Jason Day complaining over 18 holes?
No, I would not. Or Dustin Johnson.
I'm mic'd up.
Dustin Johnson mic'd up. Is he mic'd up? How come he hasn't said anything? Well, he's mic'd up.
I don't know.
Guy's silent.
He must not be thinking anything. What?
Who would I want to see mic'd up? I don't know. You know who's funny is that Pat Perez guy. It's not like great radio to talk about him, but that dude's got some personality.
You get like Patrick Reed and Bubba Watson mic'd up, God. And they're just being so mean to people. It'd be amazing.
Forget those two guys.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The NFL will reduce PED suspensions by up to 50% if you rat out another player.
So dumb. So dumb. And it reminds me actually a little bit. I've told this story a few different times through the years when I was in Indy, and our union reps came. And one of the union reps said, "How many of you guys smoke weed?" And I remember this young rookie next to me, his arm started to shoot up, and one of the veterans like grabs him, "Put your hand down. Don't you raise your hand. What you like?" And one of your voices right there, one of your video game voices, like, "Don't you do that. Don't you sell your secrets out." Even if you think these are our guys, our union guys, you never know where that info is going to go. And yeah, I just, into sell, no, bad news. Bad news. Bad news all the way around.
I hate Roger Goodell. I hate the way he does business. I can't stand the man and the way he chooses to lead the NFL. And this is yet another example of it. It is as if he is willingly antagonizing the players, or at least on purpose. That's what it seems like he's doing. I don't get it. I don't. Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Tacoma Rainiers drew a larger crowd last night than the Miami Marlins did.
I mean, I guess that's good news for the Tacoma Rainiers. They're trying to win in a way that obviously the Marlins are not. Well, the best news here is that Derek Jeter is becoming an enemy. What's the line? Die a hero or live long enough to become a villain?
Oh.
You're experiencing it, Jeter. They're coming for you, Jeets. They hate you.
6,259 at the Marlin game.
Sheesh.
And 32,000 at Bark in the Park last night in Seattle.
Yeah. That doesn't even count the canines. 40,000
baseball fans. True. True. What was it, Howdy? Your friends down there works in some of the marketing. They have a little event down there last night. A celebration.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's just people loving baseball.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. A gorgeous night, one of the more beautiful sunsets you're going to see. Even a colorblind guy could see there was like magenta and pink and stuff in the sky and the shots that I saw.
It's too bad you weren't here last night, man. Last night, honestly, was one of those perfect evenings. It was like ideal windows open temperature. You sit in your house, you get a nice breeze. It was amazing.
That is great news. Way to go, T-Town.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Thai soccer team is still stuck underwater in the cave. A Navy SEAL says time could be speeding up on them. Ugh.
So I was trying to understand this and explain it a little bit to Molly. And I think, Kyle, were we talking about this as well? That a lot of these, the 13 kids don't know how to swim. But it has to be, I heard yesterday a news report, they would be underwater for 6 hours.
Yeah.
It's not like a scuba diving where you just go down and you come. No, no, no. It's
with
like
no way to surface for air if something goes wrong.
For
6 hours.
You're
underwater.
Oh, my gosh.
So they can't just stay there until the floods end?
Well, a SEAL died yesterday from a lack of oxygen down there. So now they're worried that the oxygen's going to keep depleting.
A SEAL died? I didn't see that.
Yeah, retired. Oh. He was like a volunteer.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
Man, I didn't realize
they're putting oxygen like canisters down there.
Oh, my God. That is so awful. All right. Well, obviously, I mean, beyond bad news. Just no way to even talk about that. That is today's good news, bad news, no news. I didn't realize all that. I hadn't read that. Jeez. What a, can you imagine? That's like
the
worst for me is the idea of sort of expecting it. It's just,
no way.
It's, okay, let's move it along. It's not a fun way to spend a Friday, that's for sure. This hour, Brock and Salk was brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. And we are going to open up the lines again a little bit on a question that Brock has had for us here the last couple of days that I want to ask people. Before we do it, it was a heck of a game last night, and there were a lot of single plays that were indicative of larger themes. You'll hear them next on Brock and Salk.